So now we're up to podcast number two. Podcast number two should be spectacular, just like podcast number one for the car trip. And the next thing I want to talk about is love. So one of the things that really intrigued me and inspired me yesterday with this, with the group I was working with, was their devotion to their family and children. Now, it seems it's almost like a cultural norm or a meme for people to say that my highest value, my highest importance in my life is my family, when really it's not always the case. But that aside, I really want to talk about what it takes to create a loving, beautiful, sustainable, long-term relationship with another human being that doesn't fluctuate with how many kids you have or how happy you are or how vulnerable you are. So let's just go there for a minute. Firstly, I think it's cruel and unconscionable for a person who pretends to be working on self-development, personal development, and evolving themselves to a more conscious state, to presume that their love is going to come from another person. So if you become dependent on your spouse, your partner, your children, to feel lovable, to feel loved, then you are going to cause those people to withdraw and to put conditions on your lovability, which will compromise you no end. And that compromise will end up being the thing that drives you apart. So the key to self-leadership, or the key to self-awareness, is to bring love home. In other words, to have a process in your life that makes you feel connected to love, loved by the universe, that you come in the front door going, man, I am so full of love, here, have some. Instead of walking in the front door going, I'm so full of shit from a day's work, can you please love me a little bit? I'll play with you, I'll give you my attention, I'll give you my affection, please in return tell me you love me. That is the corruption, that is a meme, that is an obliteration of the real, honest, true harmony and consciousness of a great loving relationship. The question is, how can you go to work and come home with more love in your pocket? How can you go out the front door, run in the park, and come inside the front door, instead of panting, come inside the front door to give love, not to take it, to give. And this is the question you need to ask yourself if your objective is to have a beautiful, sustainable, long-term loving relationship. Because a person who needs love is a needy person. And a needy person doesn't earn the respect of the person they're loving. So if you're needy and you're going, please love me, please love me, please love me, the other person's going to go, what a wolf, what a weakie, what a wussy. And eventually they're going to lose respect and start pushing you around. And then they're going to start being manipulative. And then they're going to start being conditional, highly conditional. If you do this, you're lovable. If you don't do that, then you return to that state of childhood where dad said or mum said, if you do this, you're lovable. If you don't do that, and you return to a meme, a memory of perform one way, you're lovable, perform another way, you're not. And this is a corruption of love. Love is love. It doesn't matter how you perform. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. The worst person on earth, the most corrupt person on the planet, is still worthy of love at a universal level. And so, I understand that some people are not worthy of love for their behavior in the world. You can't say Adolf Hitler is worthy of our love. You can't. You can't say that. But you have to know, from a universal point of view, he is. So maybe you can't allow yourself to cross that line, maybe because of your memes and your background and your history and your morals and ethics which run your life, you can't go there. But actually, it's a place that can be gone to if you chose. So the question is, how do you love the world, love life? How do you fill yourself with love more every day? So one of the skills that I use to fill myself with love every day, independent of my relationships and my partnerships, is to take a helicopter ride to the moon. The way you can do that is by having a globe, a ball, the old-fashioned ball globe thing that you buy from Harvey Norman or JB Hi-Fi or National Geographic, a little globey bally thing, and look at it. Look at it as if you're looking at it from the moon. Spin it and actually see all the water and all the countries and all the beautiful pictures and go, wow, oh wow, what a beautiful thing I'm looking at. That's looking at things from on high. What the press does, it doesn't make you look at the finite detail of anything. It doesn't make you look at things from on high. It makes you look at things emotionally. Now, once you're in your emotion, the event, the world has you. So the greatest corruption in a human life is emotion. So when people say emotional intelligence, no matter how many books they've written about it, no matter how many $1 billion corporations have invested in it, there is no such thing as emotional intelligence. It's platitude. It's that's how organizations trying to hook people in to what they call motivate or engage. They try to engage people emotionally. But by doing it, they engage people at a corrupt level of their life, because emotion is, in clear definition, emotion is a lopsided perception of something that's in balance. So an unbalanced perception of something that's in balance causes emotion. We can't live without emotions, because there'd be no stories to our life. There'd be no theater. And people love theater. Oh, I'm so stressed. I'm so busy. They love the theater. But acting on emotion, that's corrupt. Because a person who acts on emotion will be out of control. They'll be reacting to the world. And we're trying to talk about here acting, not reacting. Action. Action is saying, I want something, I'm driving to Sydney, here's the steering wheel, steer the wheel, drive to Sydney. Reaction is, I'm driving to Sydney, but I'd rather be back in Geelong, or I'd rather be back going there, or I wish I was already in Sydney, which is not the case. So this is very important for relationships. It's very important to turn up with love. So one way is the helicopter, have a globe, or do it in your mind's eye, virtual trips to the moon before breakfast, and look back and see the beauty of the world and feel the love for the planet and the gift of just being here. That's a really important step. So I would say that's number one. Number two, have some red flags in your life that signal to you when you're out of love. Now, my red flag is if I stop laughing. I have a great sense of humor about life when I feel love in my heart. And when I start to take things seriously, or get grumpy, or feel disappointed, or frustrated, or angry, or attracted, or repelled, or elated, or depressed, whenever I start to feel any of these things, I go, alarm bell, meh, 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 which is not my car. It's my alarm bell in my head going, you're out of love. And therefore, if I'm out of love, I'm going to start wanting it. That's the second thing. The third thing is to avoid workers' compensation. What's workers' compensation? Well, workers' compensation is the dumbass philosophy that was introduced about 100 years ago, which is called work until you drop, drag yourself down the street to the pub, have a few beers and go home, eat what you can, and plonk into bed and try to get up the next morning ready for the next day. This is like filling a glass of water and then pouring it out every day and then having to fill the glass up again. This is called work-life balance. And work-life balance is the most dumbass thing, especially in the era of 2017, when we're under so much pressure every hour of the day that if we get out of balance, we're actually, they estimate that we live about a week, 1958, a week in 1958, a week's work is equivalent to somewhere less than an hour's work in 2017. So in other words, the development of human consciousness, the evolution of humanity, means we're getting more done in less time. That's the evolution of humanity, and it's the evolution of your life too. So getting out of balance, getting emotional at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, and this is very particularly true for women because they have more connection to their emotion, can distract you and burn you out and send you home exhausted by the end of the day, because you go, oh, I'm just so fatigued. And I say, what have you done? Well, we had all these meetings. Right, meetings are hard. Oh, I had to get all this done. I go, what, you're lifting 25 kilo onto your head and walking up near vertical steps to the summit of a mountaintop? No, I just had so much paperwork. Oh, so much paperwork. That must be exhausting. Not. Give me a break. What's exhausting is the emotion we have around the paperwork, because emotion is energy in motion. So emotion means you're having energy in motion, and the net result of an emotion is zero, because for every positive thing we do under the influence of an emotion, we also construct a negative thing. That's the law of universal balance. And so therefore, if we act out of emotion, we actually end up with a null hypothesis. In other words, we run around like a hairy goat for 3 years emotionally, doing great and doing bad, doing great and doing bad, and we end up in 3 years with the same amount of money in the bank, same amount of love in the relationship, same amount of health, same amount, if not worse, same amount of behavior with the kids, same amount of life. So that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to actually evolve and become more enjoyed human beings, more inspired human beings, more loving human beings, more enjoy, more happy human beings, more productive human beings. We're actually working to create more happiness. And so nobody's going to be happy in 3 years' time. You're actually going around chasing your tail, and he says, oh, I've had such a great 3 years. I've changed countries 3 times. And you go, really? And the net result of that is what? They go, well, I've been able to see different countries. Oh, right. So let's say you evaporated this earth tomorrow and you've seen 3 different countries. How much difference does that make to you lying in your coffin? What makes a big difference to you lying in your coffin is what you did for the world, what you've done that's memorable. And so I define your spirituality as the memory you leave. The memory you leave behind. So, that's another way to experience more love, is to make sure that you don't operate on emotion. Another way to give love to people in the world is to go out in nature. I believe the environment we're in determines the quality of the life we have, and therefore, when you can take a bit of a stroll in nature, not talking about just swimming in it or running in it or riding a bike in it, I'm talking about taking time to observe and experience and feel and smell and taste and touch nature. Make sure you touch and smell and taste a tree, high up the tree, at least above the level of a dog's hind leg. Otherwise you might be tasting something else. So that's another way. And organizing your day, having discipline in your day is another. Okay, this is Chris. You have a beautiful day and lots of love. Bye.